Cavern Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on another hot afternoon. It is August. Hard to believe. August already here. And we are just a couple of days away from the start of fall football. Yeah, looking at the forecast for the next few days, the heat indices are going to hit the triple digits for just about every day starting Friday. And that's when, really, that's the second day of practice. So yeah, that is what it is. That's what we get at the start of fall football. It's nowhere near like fall-like weather. But welcome in, everybody. Bill and Dan got Drew, who is battling through. He's not 100%, but he is back here in the studio today. He sounds better than he did yesterday. I tell you what, he sounds a whole lot better than Carter did yesterday on his swan song on the line. What?
I'm anti coming to work sick.
So yeah, well, you know what? Here's the option. I'll help out. You can run the board today.
Yeah, no, I mean, if Drew's too sick to work, like I'll run the board today. That's fine. Like
I ran it yesterday.
Yeah, no, and you did a great job.
I thought I did okay.
I thought you did a great job too. So we'll discuss this during the commercial break. If you're too sick to work, you can take another day.
No, I think he's all right. He just sounds like he's a little stopped up.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
I mean, he wasn't sneezing or coughing or anything like that.
We're in relatively close quarters here, so I mean, if you're still battling,
we'll space out as much as we can, and we generally are spaced out.
I'm pro giving you another day
in many ways.
If you're still symptomatic and what have you, but if you're feeling up for it, then. I'm outvoted in the studio, so it's good to go. And Bill, I have some pretty big news here. As I was walking, I found out we have in fact been traded to Wings 94.3. Yeah, for they get
a prospect to be named later.
They get like all the Billy Idol songs and some of the stuff that the Eagles did as solo acts.
Oh, okay. So we're the prospects.
We're
I'm a little old to be a prospect.
But I think you have
more like a prospector.
No, you've got the full no trade. So I think you can. Oh, okay. I think you can veto it. So we're gonna have to talk
I'm Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, you
saw that one, right?
You were a 10-5 player here at ESPN.
Well, Eduardo Rodriguez isn't a 10-5 guy.
He just has it in his contract, right?
Yeah, he vetoed a deal with the Dodgers.
People forget about the 10-5. It's one of my Drew. Do you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the 10-5? So it's a.
If you have 10 years, yeah.
Any Major League Baseball veteran who has been a pro for 10 years or longer. And has been with his current team for 5 years or longer,
right.
Automatically, at least for the last couple of CBAs, maybe they quietly erased it.
I think it's still there because hardly any player is with a team for 5 years anymore.
You rarely see 10-5.
Right.
It's becoming more and more infrequent. But yeah, the 10-5 guys are able to turn down. I guess I'm a 10-5 guy now. So here at ESPN.
Yeah, I'm long past that.
We're coming up on it, but. This really is, and I've gotten confirmation, Jake Crane back in America. So we will, talk with Jake Crane in the second hour like we do on Tuesdays. The trade deadline really is one of my more, that's one of the more fun days of following. You know what it feels like, Bill? Remember how signing day used to be?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Like, it is because you don't know, you have no idea. And this one, it's even crazier because you have no idea where somebody might wind up.
At least
you had an idea of how many hats were going to be on the table for a player.
Sure. Yeah. No. But
not now. Not at the trading deadline.
No. And so the last last few days, and especially the last 48 hours or so, has really felt like it's absolutely a new. I mean, it's. Because of the playoff expansion in baseball, I think especially, you've had an increase in teams who might decide to stick around and battle through the playoffs, and there's more, you know, there's a market for the guys that are actually out there from the sellers. So I think it's a, yeah, I think, you know, this has been, and today's been no exception with some big names on the move, including a couple of Mets.
And I'll tell you one of the reasons why, and this is something you were talking, we can get into this in a little while, and we're not gonna spend a ton of the show, you know, talking about Major League Baseball or anything. But Major League Baseball has really had a revival this year. You were telling me about some of the numbers from this past week, and I'll tell you one of the reasons why. I heard this a little while ago. 23 of the 30 Major League teams are within four games of a playoff spot. 23 out of 30. So everybody, for the most part, that means nearly 80% of the teams in Major League Baseball feel like, hey, we got a chance. If we make the right move, we're in the playoffs.
And the teams deciding to unload have more options as far as where they can send players now, because you have more and more teams that are thinking, yeah, let's go ahead and buy at the deadline.
Yeah, you have fewer just pure sellers, though.
Yeah.
So those seller teams, and I mean C-E-L-L-A-R, are the S-E-L-L-E-R teams. Oh, I saw somebody pretty much quoted us today on one of the on a message board.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Was talking about quite a few of the things we were mentioning yesterday, quoted some of the, I mean, and you can look it up, the numbers, 21 players since the spring, 11 on offense, 10 on defense, and it said since the Harsin error, he wrote. They didn't credit us, but I was like, oh, I know somebody that was listening to the show yesterday.
Well, you know what? Well, if you missed yesterday's show, and Brian Matthews was around
absolutely
from AudibleSports.com and did a great job as he always does, I think... Jacob, I want to shout him out because I believe with Drew.
Jacob came back and posted the podcast right after we left yesterday.
Jacob came in and handled the podcast. So thanks again to our buddy Jacob there. But if you go to ESPNAU.com or check out the podcast center. Check out the podcast center at ESPNAU.com or go to your favorite podcasting platform and just search for the Drive with Bill Cameron. You can find yesterday's podcast and a ton of episodes of the show, commercial free, all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Rate, review, subscribe if you use one of the podcasting platforms. And you know what? Maybe drop us a mention if you use us as the basis for a column.
I don't know. I heard some interesting things yesterday.
I didn't.
Wherever you heard them read them.
I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I mean,
I didn't mind seeing it's like, oh, that's somebody who actually came across the show yesterday.
How about? Well, I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad to hear it, and I hope they're enjoying it. But it's and this is, you know, we're in an exciting time. Thursday morning, we're going to hear from Coach Freeze, so we're just really,
and Thursday, and after that, we will get to see.
I mean,
the first, the first version of the 2023 Auburn Tigers as they practice for the first time.
What's the end of the offseason? Is it the start of the first game? Is that true, or are we?
The end of the offseason is I'd say today is the end of the offseason.
That's what I mean.
Tomorrow, the players report. It's fall camp. That's the offseason is gone.
The trade deadline in Major League Baseball, which signals the end of, all right, quit kidding around if you're a contender or not.
Better do something.
Yeah, make your, you know, put your bets in.
That's the thing. There are a lot of fan bases that are going, come on, are you going to do something? Orioles, Reds. I mean, some of these young teams that aren't used to being contenders.
Where are we on the deadline? Is it
the deadline's at 5 o'clock Central?
Okay, so we're
50 minutes away.
We're in the last hour, so we might periodically mention Major League Baseball.
I've got a feeling there will be another deal or two.
I like the Brad Hand trade by the Braves.
Well, I think that's a good pickup by the Braves, getting a proven lefty. AJ Minter, you know, his health is a little questionable. Raisel Iglesias has not had a dominant year. Brad Hand is a former All-Star.
Recently enough was one of the top closers in Major League
Baseball.
Oh,
yeah, just a couple of years ago.
Hasn't been used as a closer.
No, he's been a setup. The thing is, he's a very good setup guy as well.
Sure.
So he can be used as a setup man or a closer. Good pickup there by the Braves have not made that big splashy move. They've been mentioned with a few starting pitchers that are still available. We've seen the biggest name today, obviously, Justin Verlander. Just a couple of days after Max Scherzer goes to the first-place Rangers, the Astros, who are a half game back, add Justin Verlander.
The biggest trade deadline stories would be the Mets trading.
The Mets unloading.
Two future Hall of Fame pitchers with expensive deals and kicking in some money.
And $70 million they kicked in right now. A potential $54 million would go to the Astros if Max Scherzer...
he's under contract for next year, and then he has a player option he can exercise.
If he exercises the player option, they would owe $19 million more. But they have already guaranteed $35 million to the Astros, $35 million to the Rangers. It's like, here, take $35 million in this future Hall of Famer and give me a couple of good prospects.
Right, and I guess the belief with the Mets is that if they want to compete next year.
Well, that's there's little news on that front. Max Scherzer did an interview with Newsday and said he was told by the front office they're just completely forgetting 2024. They're expecting to try to contend in 2025.
And I think that would raise
what's that going to say to the players who are left?
Well, here's what I would wonder is a team that is tanking to that extent, are they going to possibly trade Pete Alonso in a contract year to someone else and restock the farm system by giving up on Pete Alonso with a year left on his deal? Would they? I know that there's multiple years and quite a bit of money left on what they owe Francisco Lindor, but they had quite a bit of money owed to Justin Verlander and found a dance partner. So
apparently Steve Cohen, his pockets are deeper than anyone's in among major league ownership, and he is also more gung-ho. He was all in last year, and apparently he is all out right now and ready to completely restock the farm system. He has said he wants to follow the Dodgers pattern, get rid of all the contracts, pay people to take them stock as much as he can in the farm system, and then feel like he can go and he still has enough to go and buy the top players next year or whenever he wants to as free agents.
Which I think, again, we'll find out this offseason, but I think that would raise a question about the status in the organization of both Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor.
Of anybody.
But especially those two now, of what's left on that roster. Like, those are the two guys where it's like, are they going to be on the 2025 team? Are they even going to be on the 2024 team?
So, that's a really good
question. The other big stories involving the Mets, you have one of their dance partners is the Texas Rangers. That's where they sent Max Scherzer.
Right.
Rangers seemingly going all in.
The Rangers got a half-game lead over the Astros, sure.
Absolutely, and feeling like in an American League as wide open as this one, anyone could take it. I mean, who knows who's going to win the AL East and who's going to represent the playoffs in that division? It doesn't seem like the Yankees are – well, we'll see. But it seems like there's –
Yankees are selling.
That's what it sounds like.
Yankees and the Mets are selling. Yeah. That's wild.
Well, I mean, the Yankees have played really
bad.
I mean, it's the last year or so, right? We saw those numbers.
They're a little over 500, but they can't hit.
Yeah, just barely. I mean, the lineup aside from Judge has been considerably below average pretty much everywhere over the last calendar year, since the trade deadline of 2022. So, and the Angels, I would say, another team in that division also.
Yeah, deciding they're. They're not cashing out. They're not going to see what they can get for Ohtani.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's a big, big gamble.
It's a big gamble. I still, like my thing with the Angels is if they can re-sign Ohtani and...
If they can re-sign him, then it's worth it.
Well, they can re-sign Ohtani this offseason. You have Ohtani and Trout, and seemingly you always have a chance to build around them and catch lightning in a bottle and have a great season or two, as long as the two of them are productive. If Ohtani leaves... I'm team sell Trout like right then and there for whatever you can and start the rebuild in the moment rather than – because the thought of absorbing Ohtani's loss and trying to continue to compete at a high level without Ohtani returning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, you still have Trout, but what are you going to possibly put around Trout without Ohtani that will make for superior results to what you'd gotten – to that point, I would just try to find, and there are a couple of teams, right? The best teams in both leagues would be ideal dance partners if the Angels wanted to auction Trout after the season is over in the shadow of Ohtani leaving. In the meantime, though, we were just talking about the AL being wide open. I mean, if the Angels are healthy in the playoffs, like they've added some interesting pieces to a team that already had Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. So, I don't know. That to me would be that's where I would look to, you know, the biggest stories of the trade deadline so far are a couple of teams in the, I mean, and then the Astros too, you know, so multiple teams in the AL West, say, you know, thinking, looking at the lay of the land and thinking, okay, we can, maybe we can win this whole thing right now if we add the right piece. Houston reunites with Verlander. The Rangers go get Scherzer, and the Angels, instead of selling Ohtani, you know, they've added multiple pieces around him. And we'll see if, I mean, maybe they're not done. So, you know, that's, we'll watch the deadline for the next 45 minutes or so.
We will. And, of course, we'll take your calls. It's we're just underway here with hour number one of the Tuesday Drive. And the first hour, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They're also the sponsor of our hotline. And you can call us. 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, just like the podcast text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And there's football news too, Bill. I mean, we're still in the shadow of...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're still, you know, getting over the huge weekend Auburn had with Big Cat, as we said, football practice starting here in a couple of days. We'd love your thoughts on how do you feel? I think this is a great time now as we're heading into fall camp. I've had different people tell me very similar things that, man, they haven't been this excited about Auburn football. Not one of them said, I think we're going to win the West and be playing for the SEC title or anything like that. But they're just really excited because of the change in direction of Auburn football from the last couple of years.
Is there a season that comes to mind where you think about, like, this kind of feels like going into season X or whatever? Like, is there a year? And you don't have to necessarily take into account.
I'll tell you, all right.
What happened that year doesn't necessarily, I mean, it's important, but it's more about the feeling right now. I mean,
I had no idea. It reminds me. I'm trying to think of the most recent time. I was pretty excited about Gus.
Okay.
I was pretty excited about, just because what we'd seen with him as offensive coordinator. I was pretty excited about the staff that Gene Chizik put together and how they recruited. Those were a couple of years going in. I can go back. Tommy Tuberville's second year. When Rudy Johnson was brought in and Auburn had recruited well.
What about going into Bo's year? I was going to say Bo Nix. What about 2019 going into Bo Nix's year where he was going to start?
Sort of like where we're used to what we had by then. This is one of those breath of fresh air. Man, this is a change. We knew there was a change. I'll go way back. We knew there was a big change with Coach Dye. But after the 81 season, as hard as those guys had fought and played, and then that recruiting class, speaking of Bo,
right,
that recruiting class, yeah, there was excitement going into 82. And, you know, that was not the unbeaten SEC title year, but that was the year that Auburn went from being a 500 team to, look out, these guys can play with anybody. And that's sort of the feel that I've gotten from people, and I'd love to get our listeners' thoughts.
You know, it's interesting because I think about years where, I mean, it's a different kind of excitement, right? Like going into 2018 or going into 2014, folks were excited because Auburn had a returning successful starting quarterback, and there was a lot of reason to believe that they could build on the success of the previous year. Both in 13 and in 17, they win the West and win double-digit games. So, I mean, it's the excitement people had coming off of those seasons, going into 14, mm-hmm. going into 18. Like, folks were excited for those years.
The expectations were through the roof.
Yeah, that's a different kind
feeling. This is a, man, I can't wait to see what we have, what this is going to look like. We don't really know, but you feel good about it.
You mentioned Chizik's going into Chizik's first year.
Uh-huh.
I think folks...
Just bringing in Gus Malzahn and Trooper Taylor and Curtis Looper and their reputations as recruiters. I mean, it was... it was something like, oh, wow, this is we're going to get serious about recruiting.
Well, that's because, I mean, the hire itself of Chizik was famously pretty divisive.
Oh, yes.
Because he had not had much of a win-loss record at Iowa State, and folks, I think, thought maybe that the post-Tuberville hire was going to be flashier than Gene Chizik. But you're right, he assembled a staff that included Gus Malzahn and Trooper Taylor and Curtis Looper and had folks really excited about the kind of players they were bringing in and the kind of offense.
Yeah, Don. And, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, well that's...
No, that's right.
Yeah,
no,
that's
right.
Tuberville staff. Yeah, Chizik had a... I'm struggling to remember some of the defensive coaches from...
Was the first...
Ted Roof was the DC.
Was Ted the first
DC? Yeah, Ted Roof was the DC for Gene's first team. But that was a... You know, I guess 09 comes to mind, but also I feel like folks are more excited for this season. Although I wasn't.
I agree. I think there's less. Even though there were some people that absolutely did not want Hugh Freeze. There's less of that than there was for Gene Chizik.
Last season ended with more momentum than 2008 did as well.
Because
the change was made earlier in the year and Cadillac. Had his run as the interim coach. I think that played something to do with it.
I know we're running way behind. Okay. Need to get to our first break. Love for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 26 minutes after 4 o'clock. Yet we ran so long with that first segment that it's nearly time for us to get to our bottom of the hour break. We got a couple of minutes. And again, we'll toss this out there. And after we talk with Barrett Salee, Barrett should be joining us at the bottom of this hour. Then Jake Crane at around 5:30. But, yeah, we'd love your thoughts. How do you feel about this season and how does it compare to some other seasons? I mean, it's not exactly the same. I mean, I know there's some folks that are going to go, well, I'm going to be disappointed if Auburn doesn't win at least 9 games. I surely wouldn't go that far. But I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what the product looks like on the field. You know, and we've talked about that. Recruits are looking forward to that, too, as well. But, I mean, with so many new faces, like we were saying yesterday, 42, I guess, now, new players, half of those weren't going through spring practice. That's a wild thought. For fall.
Think about the names that we've heard over the last two decades that were coming to revolutionize Auburn's passing game, right?
Right.
Like over the year, like between and I'm not all of them were failures or anything, but between Petrino and Borges and Franklin and Malzahn and
Leffler.
And
I couldn't help it.
Malzahn again, and Chip Lindsey, Rhett Lashley. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Brian Harsin,
Chad Morris.
Yeah, who was the offensive coordinator that lasted 2 weeks for Harsin? The NFL guy, the Southern Miss quarterback.
Go
Austin Davis.
Yeah,
Austin Davis. I mean, so yes, I want to be careful about thinking I'm excited because Hugh Freeze has been brought in to revolutionize Auburn's passing game, but. The track record says that Hugh Freeze's teams throw the ball quite a bit more than...
And they've done it successfully in the SEC. Let's get to Bill before we run out of time here during this segment. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I was going to make a throw something in real quick. I've been around almost as long as you have, Bill, but...
Golly, you're old, man.
Yeah, we're all, except for Dan there.
He's getting still, there.
I just had my 33rd birthday again.
Yeah, again is the key.
I'd like to be 53 again, much less 33. But anyway, I believe this is different. I saw Barfield come and go, and I saw Coach Dye come in, and you knew something was different about Coach Dye. Mm-hmm. You just did. And then, you know, Terry Bowden had a flash in the pan and breathed new life into it, but couldn't sustain it. And, you know, Gus, I think, was good. He couldn't sustain it either. I don't know what was recruiting or just the thing ran stale. And, of course, I think Gene just had – Gene Chizik had some other problems, you know, with that year they – did away with Affleck, Dorm, and people went crazy, and it was just a real odd situation. Harrison, I thought would, like you said yesterday, or your guest said, he almost ran this thing into the ground. Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss before he had to leave there was real eye opening. I remember, you know, and I'm not a blind loyalist. If we're not good, I'll tell you we're not good. If we are, I will. But what he did over there really caught my eye, and of course he had to leave there and had a real good amount of success at Liberty. Of course, that's a different day and time. But what he's doing now, I haven't seen since the Pat Dye days. And you know what? You know where you can really tell it's getting under people's skin is when the trolls come in on the boards and say things like, you know, well, if you want to go to the Birmingham Bowl, go to Auburn. If you go to Ole Miss and you win 10 games, and, you know, when the trolls start coming in, it's getting under people's skin. That being said, I hope everybody will temper their expectations. We have an opportunity to have a real good season. 8, maybe 9 wins with some luck. I think we're going to get somebody we're not supposed to get. But, you know, we're still building. It's going to take a couple more cycles. But people who are not taking him seriously, that'll reassess their thoughts.
I think you're absolutely right about that, Bill. Great stuff. We do need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Barrett Silley joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
402 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. I apologize. I'd gotten a text from Barrett while we were talking about baseball. I didn't check it. Barrett is en route to the Keys.
Yeah. Barrett's been traded.
Yeah, Barrett's headed to South Florida.
Barrett's been traded. He's taking his he's taking his talents to South.
He wouldn't be happy if he was traded from Atlanta to Miami.
Barrett's going to the Marlins for Garrett Cooper. Actually, is what's coming back in that. No. You know what? That's another team I'm waiting to see if they make a deal.
They did. They made one. They got Jake Berger.
Want to see?
A guy with 25 homers gets added to the Marlins lineup.
You know who I want to see in Miami is. I think maybe that Rockies catcher, if they would.
Diaz.
I think if Diaz would.
Yeah, apparently that is a very contested market.
Yeah.
For a very few catchers.
And where?
Elias Diaz. There are a half dozen teams that want to upgrade their catcher.
Rockies should unload him before the deadline, right?
You're absolutely right.
Right now,
they got rid of C.J. Cron and Randall Gritchett.
Right now.
So they at least showed that they will do something.
Right now, he's still a Rocky, right?
Right.
All right. And we were just talking about the Pac-12 news.
That is. All right. There had been a buzz yesterday that, maybe there was going to be a deal with Apple of some sorts. Looks like that still may be the case. And some of the details that are coming out, I mean, it's better than nothing, I guess.
There's also there was also sort of reports that Arizona and Arizona State could be starting to
head east.
Seriously explore the possibility of joining the Big 12. But now the report from Pete Thamel and Heather Dinich earlier today that – it sounds like Apple has emerged as the most likely destination for the next television contract with the Pac-12. The Apple streaming deal, I'm reading from the article now, the Apple streaming deal emerged as the likely leader. The monetary and exposure questions still loom. Outside pressure from the Big 12 remains. The first year of what's expected to be a relatively short-term contract with Apple would start in 24-25 and begin relatively low relative to the league's hopes, but the deal, sources said, would incrementally improve and potentially be competitive with its peers in the Big 12 and ACC down the road, provided certain subscription numbers are met, unquote.
Yeah, that's not the most positive news. I mean, like I said, it's better than nothing. But it's like, hey, you've got a chance to compete for number 3 if nobody else leaves and we get a lot of subscriptions.
The article continues that the Big 12's new TV deal in 2025 will provide an average of $32 million per year to each member institution. That number, 31.7 has always sort of been the that's been the measuring stick of can the Pac-12 find a deal that can provide that kind of revenue to its members. Using that, apparently the guaranteed numbers from the Apple deal early would not meet that number, but the chance that they could eventually get there, apparently it being tied to Apple Plus. This is a subscription service you're more familiar with than me because you're a Ted Lasso guy, right?
Yeah.
So this would be, I guess they'd be putting live Pac-12 football games on that subscription service. And the question is...
Yeah, they have a game of the week.
They have a game of the week.
Baseball game of the week Friday night game, I believe.
I believe they're also in the MLS global streaming.
Yeah, they are.
I believe they've got some other sports networks, but they would be the home for Pac-12 football and maybe other sports as well. And the question is, would that have enough of an influence on Apple Plus subscriptions overall? Are there enough people who don't subscribe to Apple Plus
that would just for the Pac-12 network
that would join to get access? Well, not just the Pac-12 network, but for access to if it were every Pac-12 game on a football Saturday or virtually every Pac-12 game on a football Saturday, things like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I wonder if that would be. I don't know. I could see why Apple is being conservative and making sure they're covered in a deal like that if it were to not work for both parties.
Interesting news there, and that's still yet to be announced officially. I believe.
Feel like you're out of sight and out of mind potentially on a streaming service behind a paywall.
All right, let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline 334-321-1390. Inspector is up next. Hey, Spector, how you doing?
Hey, Spector.
Hey guys, I'll try to fill in for Sy Lee. Hey, listen, I've been reviewing Auburn's five stars, and how did the world did DeMarcus Riddick commit to us and then drop to a four star?
Well, because on every service he is a four star, but the composite, when you take the entire country and everybody's ratings, he is ranked among the top players enough to get him to be a five-star. So if you look at Rivals or 24/7 or On3 or ESPN, on all those he's a four-star, but it turns out he's a high four-star on each of those. That makes him a composite five-star. So he didn't actually drop. It's just that none of those services, at least yet, have him rated individually as a five-star. He comes up that composite five.
Yeah, well, Auburn Undercover's got him as a four.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how I am about recruiting. And I always say that we get successful when we start recruiting at high levels. That includes high-level fours and five-stars.
Sure, absolutely.
The last time we had a five-star offensive line, I think it was back in 2017, and I think his name was Ashley.
Calvin Ashley, right.
Calvin Ashley, yes. So, and I'm looking at the current ratings of our offensive line now, including the transfers, and we got two threes and four fours offensive linemen. Those were transfers. And the teams that they came from, Northwestern, 1-4, one and 11, and Tulsa 5-7. Two of them from Tulsa 5-7. East Carolina 8-5, and the best one I guess was Western Kentucky at 9-5. Well, my point to that is, we win games. All football teams win games in the trenches, and that depends on whether your quarterback can throw well or whether your running backs can run well. So it all starts in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. I'd be really careful about judging an offensive lineman based on how his team's win-loss record last year, though. Like an individual offensive lineman basing, you know what I mean? Like that's – I know what you're – I get your point, and I don't disagree with you about the importance of the offensive line, but
– Well, judge our offensive line by our win-loss record.
Oh, sure, but to say, okay, there's not a good offensive lineman on a team because they had a losing record, right? Is I'd be careful about that. Like there can be, there can be good individual players on a team, and they can be. Brian Battee rushed for 1,200 yards on a team that's won about two games in the last 3 years. But the belief,
but he was an All-American.
But the belief is that Brian Battee is a very good player, And that's, you know, part of the reason he's not on that team anymore. He's changed to a different team. I think that's part of the reason why some of these linemen are here.
And it's also, I mean, it's easier said than done than just, oh, let's just sign 4 and 5 stars. I believe Auburn in, now, there have only been like 5 stars in these services since around 99 or so. But I believe Auburn's only signed 17 or 18 5 stars ever in that period. So in 25 years, Auburn has signed 17 or 18, and they've got commitments from 2 here in the last week. So,
yeah,
you know, it takes a little while.
Yeah, I understand. I even broke that down even further. You know, Gus had 9 5-stars, and Tubbs had 5 in his 10 years. Gene Chizik, he was only here 4 years. I think he had 3. And of course, Freeze did have 2. Now he's got 1 in my book. But, you know, I hear what you guys are saying, but I want to see an improvement in the offensive line. And
well, I think that's...
I think Hugh Freeze wants to see one too, and I think that Hugh Freeze understands if anyone Auburn could have possibly hired, I think Hugh Freeze understands the importance of getting big time linemen out of high school. This was Michael Ower's high school coach,
mm-hmm.
who was hired by Ole Miss about 3 weeks after Ole Miss signed Michael Ower, right? Like this guy, I think, understands that you better, especially at tackle. I mean, that's. You know, look who goes in the top 10 of the NFL draft more and more frequently, right? Well, like it's franchise left tackles and right tackles.
Yeah, I'll sum it up by saying if there was a word for in between pessimistic and optimistic, that's where I'm at.
All right, you're on the fence.
Lukewarm.
Gotcha. Yep.
I'm like you, Bill. I wanted to see what we got on the field.
Yeah, I know, but aren't you, I mean, I've just got a feeling of, man, I can't wait to see it. I mean, other times it'd have been like, well, I do. I've just got a little, I'm a little more amped about the possibilities, I guess.
I am, and that's why I can't wait to see what this offensive line that we have now that came through the transfers, what they're capable of doing. And I hear what you're saying, Dan, and I agree with you. I'm not saying any one of these guys are bad linemen, but you know, when you their baggage is not really full, is what I'm saying to you.
No, hey, we appreciate it, Specter.
No, and you're and you know, apprehensive. Maybe is that the word in between the two? You know,
yeah, I guess as far as cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, but
is the positive way to put it.
Yeah, he's a cup of lukewarm water right now. But I understand that, and I think there are people who, as much success as Auburn has enjoyed of late, still want to see more of it on the offensive line.
All right, we'll get to our final break so we can get as many calls in. We've got G and Ty the Tiger holding on. We're right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
Hi, this is Michael from University Ace Hardware. I've worked at
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls and to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And G is up first. Hey, G.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How are y'all?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you, G.
Hey, good. Good to be on. Thanks for taking the call. Bill, you had asked the opinion of folks who remembered Pat Dye and when Auburn turned it around, and I was a student at Auburn at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that stood out to me between, say, Hugh Freeze and Pat Dye, players back then, I would say most players didn't even know who Pat Dye was. And, you know, I thought that could hurt him, but he definitely was a heck of a recruiter.
He was. I'll tell you one thing that is a little similar. Golly, I wish I could recall the player. I remember right when Hugh Freeze was hired, one of the websites asked some of Auburn's recruits what they thought, and one of them went, "Who is Hugh Freeze?" So
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was more of that with Coach Dye, but yeah, he was a great recruiter.
He was a great recruiter, good motivator. And I knew right then that it was going to be something special then, especially when they brought you know, sign Bo.
Now, that signing class was fabulous, that 82 class.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then I think and we won the SEC in 83.
83.
Went on to play Michigan. Of course, got ripped off for not being the national champion. But I do think, though, that Hugh Freeze is going to have as good, if not better, success than Coach Dye when it's all said and done. I really do. And I like his – I just like his work ethic. He, you know, he grew up on a dairy farm. He knew how to work, but he knows how to relate to people. And I think that is such a key. And he's very you know, he knows, I believe, what it takes to win. And so I'm just very excited and looking forward to the season just like you, you know. We may struggle just like Coach Dye struggled in, you know, in, what, 81?
Mm-hmm.
I remember going up to, I think it was Georgia and Auburn, and I believe we had our tight end. We were down so many backs that our tight end was in the backfield. And I was like, good night. But yet they really, really – we lost, but they played a really good game, and they kept it close for a while.
Yeah, actually, it was, golly, it was a receiver, because it was Lionel on one side and a 6'4 receiver with, golly, I'm blanking on the big, the 250-pound fullback. Mike Edwards was the receiver. It was Mike Edwards and Lionel James, because one was 6'4", Lionel was 5'6". And then you had the 250-pound fullback. It was and with Randy Camp, it was one of the craziest looking backfields you've ever seen.
Was Bobo the quarterback
for Georgia? Yeah. Golly, I was thinking it was more Ballou or Lastinger then.
I'll just have to go look that one.
Yeah, I need to check them too.
All right,
Bobo played 93 to 97.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Okay. It was Ballou.
Yeah.
Ballou.
Yeah, I think
I bet it was Ballou.
It was, yeah, or John Lasting or one of those Valdosta guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens this weekend. I think Bolton going to announce August?
Yeah, KJ Bolden's going to announce on Saturday.
That's going to be interesting.
Man, yeah, most people still think Florida State, but Auburn's definitely in there.
Well, you know, if I was a kid who had those kind of credentials, I think I'd want to play in the SEC.
All right, G, great stuff, man. Good hearing from you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Got a couple of minutes left. Ty the Tiger is up next. Hey, Ty.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm just trying to remember, what is the last – I don't think Brian Harsin had a five-star at all. Trying to think, what was Gus's last?
Owen
Papo was Auburn's last five star.
Owen would have been, Owen Papo, I believe, would have been the last one.
And so that was 19.
I believe that's right. Mm-hmm. Class of 19.
So you're talking about in 4 years, two of Gus and two of Harsin, and one Big Cat weekend, Hugh Freeze has signed more five stars than Gus and Brian Harsin. Put together in the last 4 years. So that just, I think, you know, we talk about all the time, you know, you got to have the X's and O's, but they don't work unless you got the G's and O's, right?
That is right. They don't work as well, for sure.
and again, you look at this guy's track record, you know, I think I can't remember the exact stat, but I want to say Ole Miss has had a total of 12, maybe 13 five-stars in their entire, you know, since the recruiting and the blue chips came out. I think it's around that number. Either way, I do know that Hugh Freeze had five of them out of the 12 or 13 in Ole Miss's entire recruiting, you know, since he – at the time he left. I don't know if they've had any since, but I saw that stat. I can't remember the exact numbers. I apologize, but I think, guys, you can see, you know, this is going to turn around. I think, you know, obviously we're really excited about this year. And, you know, us Auburn fans, you know, we're expecting the moon, which we might not get it this year. But, you know, this is at least got us in a nice spot coming up here in the next couple years.
Oh, they're in a much better position than they were. There's no question
and
about that.
I would mention among the talk about the five stars that Hugh Freeze has been able to acquire, Keldrick Falk also got a fifth star on one of the recruiting services. You know, Auburn flipped him late in the class of 2023 out of Highland Home. But I believe he is, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, Keldrick Falk is the lone five-star out of high school on the current Auburn roster.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And he was also signed by, think about that, there's one five-star on the team, and Hugh Freeze signed him.
After he showed up.
About 5 years of players, six with COVID, right? Like you've got generations of players on this team, and the one guy that was the five-star coming out of high school is a Hugh Freeze signing.
Great stuff, Ty. We are up against our top of the hour break. If you've got some more, you can either hang on or give us a call back. But we've got to step aside for our top of the hour break, halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan with Drew at the controls. It's the regular crew here. Drew almost back. I mean, he's
back.
A little under the weather. Hey, he sounds a whole lot better than he did yesterday. And Dan's trying to stay as far in the corner as he can.
Well, I'm
not like welcoming, you know, Drew to come over and cough on me or anything.
The better than yesterday is not the same as back to 100%. You know what I mean?
So I'll never be 100% again. So if I'm better than yesterday, that's always good.
I'm happy he's back.
Wait till you get on the other side of the hill, man. It's like anything is okay as long as you can make it.
I'm staying on the other side of the screen. That's
all right.
What I'm doing here.
So. We've had a fun first hour. I mean, it is the Major League Baseball trading deadline. We'll let you know if there's anything else. I did say a couple of teams were looking to do something. One of the Baltimore Orioles looks like the Cardinals. Man, the Cardinals' complete just teardown continues as it appears Jack Flaherty is going to the Baltimore Orioles. So I know one team in our league is going to have to try to search the pool pretty hard to try to find some guys to fill that roster.
Did you think there'd be a National League team that would be more aggressive?
I really thought the Reds. I mean, I guess they don't want to give up any of their young talent, but I thought they had enough. Jonathan India being on the injured list probably really hurt them because you're not supposed to trade players that are on the injured list. I think they could have gotten a quality starting pitcher for Jonathan India.
Well, the Dodgers ended up being maybe the most aggressive National League team.
They went after quite a few big names and didn't quite get them.
But they pull off Lance Lynn and Ahmed Rosario.
That's
before
true.
The deadline, going and getting a couple of guys from the AL, and those are players who had been successful National League players in the past. I mean, I thought that some other National League teams might try to keep pace by going and adding a
thought key the Giants usually do something.
Yeah.
They did a couple of little things. Arizona's
got a closer.
Yeah,
they pull off.
They traded for Paul Sewald.
Paul Sewald from Seattle.
We'll get into that in a little bit. But the other thing we were talking about, we'd love to get. How do you feel? What is your feeling about the upcoming football season with the change and boy with the positive vibes that are going along with recruiting as the team gets ready to start practice on Thursday. Anything on your mind sports-wise? Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Sherry has been hanging on for a few minutes. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, how are y'all today?
Doing fine.
Good. So I was just going to tell you how I feel. I feel like the sun is shining again on Auburn, and we've got Coach Freeze at the helm, and feel like we're in very capable hands, and getting 5- and 4-star athletes again. And Byron's is serving barbecue again on August 8th. So, awesome.
Yep, not just breakfast. Going to be open to lunch. Our friend
also,
Tud is
not
great.
Not to change the subject, but I saw that Coach Pearl's son just got the associate head coach or something.
Yeah, that's something. We didn't get into that. I mentioned before we came on the air, we ought to mention that. Yes, Stephen Pearl promoted to associate head coach today. So that's great news. Congratulations to Stephen, who has been named one of the 50 most impactful assistant coaches in Division I. Appreciate the call, Sherry. Yeah, I mean, definitely wanted to get that out there. I mean, Stephen Pearl is a fast-rising young coach. I think he's definitely deserving of this promotion to associate head coach.
Yeah, it's great to hear that that Stephen's been promoted. He's done great work of late for the program, and I know Coach Pearl. It's special to have his son on the staff doing the job he's doing, and so congratulations to Stephen. And of course, the men's basketball games will be on Wings 94.3 this upcoming season. We're hopeful. We've heard from people around Coach Pearl. We're hopeful that we'll have the chance to talk to Coach Pearl here on the drive.
We're more than cautiously optimistic.
That's right. Every once in a while. And we're going to have, speaking of talking to coaches, we're going to have quite a bit of media availability over the next few weeks, right? And we're going to try to, with the football team, and we're going to try to get a lot of that to you here on the drive. What are we doing in the next couple of days, Bill? There's Hugh Freeze on Thursday morning.
Yeah, Thursday morning, media his pre-fall practice press conference is at 8:30. We've got all kinds of opportunities. I mean, we'll get to watch some of practice. Then on Thursday, you've got the schedule.
I got
it right in front of me.
So we're going to get the media viewing window after the media availability Thursday morning. So Thursday morning, we're going to get to see some individual drills. Friday, there's going to be some viewing windows for practice. Friday after practice, we're going to have player interviews. So we'll see who we get to talk to on Friday, and then that's this week. So we'll have Hugh Freeze and players before the end of the week for you here on the drive. Monday, coordinators are going to be made available after practice. Tuesday, there's going to be more player interviews after practice. There's also a viewing window Tuesday morning for the media. And Thursday, there's some assistant coaches. The defensive assistant coaches are going to be made available. And then there's offensive assistant coaches about 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from today. So a lot of and more periods of media with player media availability. Hugh Freeze is also going to talk to the media after a scrimmage in that period as well. So I mean, we've got multiple media viewing windows over the next 2-3 weeks, and several opportunities with players as well. I think there's three or four listed times for player interviews, plus a designated coordinator interview period, plus time with both the offensive and defensive assistants, and multiple interviews with Hugh Freeze as well. So we've got a lot, but just over the next week, like in the next couple of days, we've got Hugh Freeze Thursday morning, and we got players after practice on Friday. We're going to try to bring that to you throughout the week here on the drive.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. Again, our sort of project for the day, we'd love to know, how do you feel? What is your feeling as Auburn gets ready to start fall camp? I said in hour number one.
You want to do it like Bob Dylan, doing like Rolling Stone? You want to ask him? You want to ask him that?
How
do you feel?
Yeah, we could if you really want to. Scrimmages, but I wasn't going to do that.
I mentioned it briefly.
Scrimmage too. A week from or 2 weeks from Saturday.
Scrimmages right? On both Saturdays, the 12th and the scrimmage.
That's
on
right. Saturday is the 5th.
There's a Saturday. There's a scrimmage on Saturday the 12th, and there's a scrimmage on Saturday the 19th. And there's also a fan day, right? Isn't that
yes?
Is that the 26th?
I've got the info on it, and that's going to be in the old practice facility.
The indoor
practice facility. I mean, there's another one now. I mean, they've got huge practice facilities now, but over there by the complex there at the top of the hill.
That's the Saturday, August 12th, indoor complex located behind the athletics complex.
Yep.
Auburn Family Football preseason kickoff presented by Golden Flake, carried out in partnership with On to Victory. You're going to have a autograph session and a family fun zone from 2:15 to 3:30. There's going to be some meet and greets with players and Coach Freeze, and doors are at 2:15. There's some private events with On to Victory and the I guess Aubie's going to be there. You know, gotta make sure people know that, along with the Tiger Paws, Auburn Cheerleaders, other stuff. So that's August 12th at the indoor complex behind the athletics complex. Doors at 2:15 Central for the Auburn Family Football preseason kickoff. So that's a cool event for Auburn folks. And
well, it's what used to just be Fan Day,
right? And they, I believe, there are still tickets available for the opener, right? Is that
mm-hmm.
the
that
so,
is right?
So folks, I'm sure they'll be trying to single game tickets are available for the opener. I'm sure they'll be trying to sell some of those at the Fan Day event as well.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get back to the phone. And Bill.
Hey, guys. I usually don't call in twice in a day, but I couldn't resist this one. Bill, that was Ron O'Neill out of Murphy High School in Atlanta.
I could not remember. Yeah, I could not remember Ron's name. I could see the backfield because it was one of the funniest looking backfields with little Lionel, tall, skinny Mike Edwards, and then Ron. Yeah.
Ron O'Neill was about 5'9", maybe, and about 250.
Every bit of 250.
And I think he'd been a great fullback for the career, but I think he had some academic issues and left Auburn.
That and he kept cramping and having hamstring problems too.
Yeah, he was a good kid. I met him at a coaching clinic up in Atlanta, senior at Murphy High School, and real nice kid. But I think he finished his career in one of the small colleges up around the Atlanta area. I might be wrong about that, but yeah, that was him. So I thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I'm glad you did. Yeah, I could not. I could see him. I could not remember his name. Appreciate the call, Bill. 334. Now I blanked on the number.
321.
321-1390.
There you go. Yeah.
It's like, wait, I started saying it, and it's like, well, that wasn't going to be
I
right.
I thought about giving you a fake number and seeing
if No, if you'd said it wrong, I'd have figured it out. But, yeah, we'd love your thoughts. I mean, I've compared it to a few years.
1-900.
No. Yeah.
No. So the trade deadline's over, and we don't have we have nothing.
No more massive deals. It didn't appear there at the end. It's funny. It's like there was a flurry of moves about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the deadline. Then a few moves. Jack Flaherty, the biggest move, as the Cardinals have gotten rid of an awful lot of players here. The Cardinals and the Mets.
Josh Bell. Okay, that's an interesting.
Now the Marlins were looking for bats, right-handed bats. I mean, Josh Bell, switch hitter, and then Jake Berger is a guy that in 500 major league at bats has over 30 homers. So I mean, they got a couple of power bats.
Yeah, I like I like a couple of and then what was there? Did something happen with the Segura?
Is that trade for Bell?
Okay, so someone who would have owned Segura in our league would be
nobody Josh, did. He'd just been cut.
Well, the Josh Bell's going into the waiver.
That is right,
into the waiver pool for that. But that's yeah, you know that's a nice pickup for.
It is
for Miami.
I mean, Josh Bell just a couple of years removed from from being an outstanding hitter with the Nationals. It hasn't worked out quite as well for him since he was shipped along with Juan Soto of San Diego.
Yeah, I think that's a nice addition for
a decent gamble.
Miami team that wants to throw some punches in the postseason.
Yeah, they've got some guys that can all of a sudden drive the ball at the corners.
Yeah, how about that?
334-321-1390. And who was up next? Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah, hey guys. Today's going to make my immaculate grid games much much easier. Bill, did you get into the Immaculate Grid stuff?
I did, but I haven't done it in about a week or so.
Okay, I was just curious. I'm hooked.
Dan's doing it every day.
Yeah, I pop in when I can. When I remember to do one, I still need a name or two to complete today's, but I'm doing all right.
All right, there you go. Now the Marlins scare me. They always do. You're just afraid that they're going to be one of those wild card teams that put together a run. Their bullpen is solid. If they can get to the sixth or seventh inning with a lead, they've got three or four guys that they can run out there that really will lock you down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the team that worries me. me the most out of everybody in the NL this year. That's coming from like a Braves perspective. I really wanted, when there were rumors a couple of months back about maybe an Ohtani deal to the Braves, I'm still one of those guys that wish they had pushed to get that.
Yeah, you know, I want to see what the Dodgers look like in the postseason, because right now Kershaw's not pitching for them, Walker Buehler's not pitching for them. You know, it's sort of up and down with what you get out of Gonsolin or even Urias on a regular basis. I think a stabilized Dodger rotation would be the most dangerous team in the National League, aside from the Braves. But you're right, the Marlins are a team that would scare. That pitching should scare a lot of folks, because in a best of five, or especially a best of seven,
yeah,
you gotta beat some pretty quality players in the Marlins rotation to win.
Yeah, and did you see where Ryan Bliss?
Yeah, we talked about that a little yesterday, and hey, another former Auburn player just got dealt at the deadline. Garrett Cooper goes from the Marlins to the Padres for Ryan Weathers, the left-handed pitcher and son of David Weathers.
Wow, okay. Marlins are busy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They got Josh Bell, so they really that was going to cut into Coop's, you know, Coop's at bats at first base. In the meantime, the Padres have been looking to upgrade at first base, where Jake Cronenworth just really hasn't hit like a first baseman needs to.
Yeah, I paid for that in one of my fantasy teams this year. you talked about like football level excitement and all that stuff. Look, I can appreciate everybody getting caught up with the recruits. I am somebody that I don't know who these guys are. I don't pay attention to it. I just, a life choice of mine that I'm not going to pay 17 and 18 year olds enough.
You're gonna take the word of the experts. I get that,
My thing is not so much just because of that, but I mean, it just feels like such a change in direction, and it feels like I feel like they're moving the right direction as opposed to what we were hoping was going to happen the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with it. I'm reminded of the quote in Necessary Roughness, where Coach Riggs is given his halftime speech talking about Ingeniero, and I feel like Hugh Freeze seems to recruit the same way that Ingeniero played football, where you rip blanking heads off and blank down their throats, and that's what you want. Like that's what we've always wanted. It's what Coach Dye did. That's the attitude that he carried with him. Is he didn't care what game you wanted to play, how you wanted to recruit, whatever needed to be done. He just wanted to beat you. And that's the feeling that I do get from Hugh Freeze, is like, you know, he's a little bitty guy that, you know, unassuming, nice, talks nice, seems, you know, real patient and quiet, doesn't seem like the kind that would do that, but you need those guys that they don't have any hurt feelings about your hurt feelings. They want to rip your head off and crap down your throat. And that's the way football has to be played. That's the way recruiting has to be done. And that's the best thing that I've seen so far, is that we seem to have that attitude that we haven't had in a while.
Like, no, you're right about that. Hey, we appreciate it. Got to get to our first break here. Thanks for the call, Jeremy. We're back with more. Again, don't forget, Jake Crane joins us at the bottom of the hour as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building Supply. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And yeah, we're a few minutes away from being joined by Jake Crane. Love for you to join us. Let us know how you feel about the upcoming year. I mean, I know there are a lot of Auburn fans that if they didn't, they probably all but checked out a little bit after after some of the things that had gone on the last year plus.
Well, no, I think that, I mean, the folks that weren't on board with the Hugh Freeze hire, I can't necessarily speak for, but I think that a lot of the, you know, a lot of the apathy and disdain you were starting to see, like a lot of it, the change was, I mean, the Hugh Freeze hire was important and things that have happened since Hugh Freeze matter a ton, but Hugh Freeze will tell you, like, it was that A&M game. It was the switch over from Harsin to whatever comes after Harsin. And at first it was Cadillac. Now it's Hugh Freeze. But I mean, yeah, things certainly last year felt uniquely, like, going into last year, I think, I mean, Auburn had been picked to finish last in the division. Mm-hmm. How often does that happen going into a season? So, you know, I think the expectation, had Auburn been picked to finish last, yeah, very, very often in division?
Not very often, yeah, but, I mean, but a few times.
In division play, I feel like, times. You know, even at the worst, there were other teams in the West that people were maybe colder on. So, yeah, I think last year was even going into the season, it felt like a low point or the end of something, and sure enough, that's what it was. So I do understand that there's a newfound sort of excitement and energy around the chance that this coach could provide something considerably better.
Well, like I was, Jeremy and I were talking, it just feels like things are headed in the right direction now. I mean, you feel like you do have the unity or alignment, as Hugh Freeze was saying, but I mean, you're convincing some top players to not just visit, but to say, hey, yeah, I want to be part of this, and that's something we hadn't seen.
Yeah, I mean,
for a little while.
You've seen players leave, but you saw players leave under the previous regime too. What the key difference is, who's signing up to come on board? Like, mm-hmm. who's part of the, you know, who's going to be part of the of the next wave?
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jerry is up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I get the same feeling that I had in 1982. Optimism.
Yeah, it's funny. After the 81 season, Auburn had the same record that they did in 80. You know, and it was 5-6, but it was a different, it was a much more competitive, and man, they're going to get after you. And then Coach Dye and his staff went out and had a great recruiting class, and it's like, hey, things are turning around.
Yeah, right. That's the first year I started buying Auburn season tickets. And, I felt the same enthusiasm now.
Well, that's there's no question the fan base that folks that I've talked to are much more interested and really, you know, they have questions. I mean, we don't know exactly where we're going to see. I mean, you don't know what players you're going to see out there, and that's the other thing. It's one of the more interesting fall camps, because there's so many jobs that are up for grabs, and there's so many new faces. It's like, yeah, we've, you know, we were talking about the Major League trade deadline. It's like, wow, we've remade the team. And that's exactly what Hugh Freeze has done here in the 8 months since he's been head coach.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why, you know, folks believe the results could be different than what you've seen from Auburn in recent seasons, because it is largely a new group of players than what's been out there. There's also new coaches at most of the positions, and Hugh Freeze has talked about having to rebuild this roster based on what they had before, because it was not where it needed to be coming into, especially after some of the departures of the last few seasons. I mean, there were recruiting deficiencies too, but yeah, Hugh Freeze has rebuilt things for now, and we'll see what it looks like when it takes the field.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. We will get to our bottom of the hour break here, and then Jake Crane back in the country. We'll get his thoughts here after Big Cat Weekend and previewing the start of fall camp. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline and welcome back stateside. Traveling honeymooner, and that is Jake Crane from Crane and Company. Jake, how you doing, man?
Man, doing great. Great to be back in the good old USA and right in time for fall camp.
Yeah,
You're not on an airplane, like being looked at.
That was pretty amazing.
Oh, man, yeah. That was wild. Y'all, I can't believe we got that one in. You know me, the best ability is availability, and I want to miss out. But, yeah, we were literally taxiing out for an eight-hour plane ride as we were getting off the phone.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, quite a bit has happened. Auburn had a big cat Saturday, and it was big cat time as the big cats walked before. One big cat walked before Saturday. A couple more did on Saturday. Very productive few days for Hugh Freeze and Auburn football.
I mean, look, nothing's done till the ink hits paper, but, I mean, it was historic. I mean, look, Auburn's never done something like that before. I mean, man, recently before Hugh Freeze, it felt like the only way Auburn could see a five-star is if they looked at a constellation through a telescope. And not only that, you flip one from Georgia and another from Alabama. I mean, when's the last time that Auburn went down and beat a big-time player that both schools wanted at Foley? I mean, it just goes to show you that this staff not only puts in the work. You know, a lot of things work hard. My washing machine works hard, but they're talented. They're deep as a staff, and they're genuine people. And getting players like this, look at what they're about to do up front. Looks like you're going to get T.J. Lindsey. Looks like you're going to get Drake Carter. That's how you bridge the gap, and it's so refreshing to see Auburn recruiting be fun again, especially off the heels of losing out on Cam Coleman, at least from a commitment standpoint.
Yeah, Perry Thompson looks to be a massive flip. Auburn hasn't signed a composite five-star in decades, and that's a position where Hugh Freeze has shown an ability to identify the top players on the board and then get the most out of them when they're playing for him.
Yeah, well, listen, I said this about Hugh Freeze when the job was open and took a lot of, you know, backlash for saying he needed to be the guy, but he's won everywhere he's been. You know, the time that he didn't win was mainly due to self-inflicted wounds. And what he's been able to do at a place like Auburn that sells itself, that is in the perfect climate to build a team that can compete at the highest level, that isn't afraid to look Alabama and Georgia in the eyes. And guys, you know, right now is probably the hardest time to be an Auburn fan. You know, growing up, I was very fortunate. My age group, growing up, we were beating Alabama, it seemed like, almost every year. And my pops used to tell me, he's like, you know, you don't know how good you had it. I mean, he went through the Bear Bryant days and you know, understanding when Auburn wasn't having that success. But you look at what Georgia's been doing, and it just feels good to feel like Auburn can run with the big dogs again. And you do that by not only being able to scheme up good plays and come up with good game plans. This is a player's game, and bringing in these type of players that can make the difference and go toe-to-toe with anybody in the country, Auburn fans deserve it. Auburn deserves it, and I'm just glad to see that we're back in the prime time.
You know, it's one of the things I was we were talking about a while ago, and I asked our listeners just how do you feel heading in, and I compared it sort of to 82, when Coach Dye's team, even though they'd gone 5-6, you could see the difference, and then he had that great signing class. I said there have been a few times heading into fall camp when there's just a different feeling. It's like, hey, we're headed in the right direction, and you can tell that. And that's just the feeling I have. And thus far, that's pretty much what most people are saying.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, you know, the Harsin hostage crisis is over for Auburn fans, and it's you know, and that's not saying Auburn's going to go out there and go at 11-1 this year. You never know in college football, but they just need to go out. They need to look organized, need to compete, play through the whistle, play for four quarters. But I think it's more of feeling like the future is finally somewhat safe. You don't have to sit here and be nervous and worried and frustrated and not knowing if Auburn's in good hands. And, you know, the thing about Coach Freeze is, yeah, he's made mistakes before, but I think he's one of the most least likely guys to do it again, because he had his professional future flash before his eyes. He had made it to the top level and was having success, and then it was taken away by actions that he could control. Now he's got a second chance at a place like Auburn, and from a fan base, you know, standpoint, it's just good to be able to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I feel like the guy running the program is going to get the most out of Auburn today, tomorrow, and in the future.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane and Company here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Jake, what is the sales pitch for a player like Perry Thompson? If you're Hugh Freeze and you're trying to get a guy who plays receiver, right, to go from Alabama, which has, I mean, for, you know, that you mentioned the Foley aspect of it, you know, a lineage that, I mean, it dates long before Julio Jones, but just the last 15 years, right, under Saban, the receivers that have gone from Alabama to the NFL, and the sort of what you know you're getting, the proven aspects of that program, versus getting a receiver to decide to come to Auburn amid a sort of a new beginning for Hugh Freeze.
Well, you know, let's take the NIL stuff out of it, right? Obviously, that's an important piece. But if we're talking about the other stuff, I think one of the biggest pitches, and you've heard some of these recruits say that, and people have used it before, but it's the way you talk about it and it's being genuine about it is, you know, you wouldn't be stupid to go to Alabama. Nobody's saying that. That's the easy choice, right? But what about being a part of something, building something at a place that can be a monster? What did Julio Jones do? He went to Alabama and helped build it into a monster when it really wasn't that popular. And I think being able to go in there and say, hey, listen, you know, when they look back at where this program's going and what you can accomplish while you're here, not only will you be a part of it, you will be one of the parts that started it. One of the most integral parts, the Mount Rushmore of what got this program turned around. And it's something I think resonates with 18-year-olds and males in general, is that, you know, sometimes being different and making the harder choice ends up being the best choice. And it's not being a big fish in a small pond. Auburn isn't a small pond, but it's being a big fish in a big pond that's getting filled up. And I really think when you look at this offense and you look at what Alabama's going back to, that 12 personnel bully ball style as opposed to what Lane Kiffin and Stark were doing there, I think this offense is attractive. You've got quarterbacks on the roster, young guys you feel good about, but Auburn's in on some really good players as well. You look at Walker White, a guy that Auburn's very confident in. I think not making the easy choice sometimes is making the right choice. I think that's a big pitch.
Well, and there's no question. I mean, everybody's excited about the future additions. Hey, Auburn added another player to this year's roster.
Yeah.
With Dylan Senda, and now we were totaling it up yesterday. That is 21 players that Auburn has added to this year's roster since spring practice.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's going to be a crazy fall. I mean, where you've got 42 new players, but half of those guys didn't even go through spring. So what the competition and the questions at some positions going to be really, really interesting to watch starting Thursday.
Yeah, well, the most fascinating part to me is the install, right? And you have guys that have experience playing. They're not going to be afraid to go out there or be nervous under the lights. You got a lot of guys with a lot of experience. And look, that's one of the things about the transfer portal now and being a new coach. You can flip the house a lot quicker. Now it doesn't come down to just, oh, we brought in a lot of really good players, and that does increase competition. That's great. But these players have to be able to pick up the mental aspect of it too, because there's guys that are ahead of them. So as a coaching staff, in those meeting rooms, getting that extra time, players putting in their own work, and a lot of it is terminology for older guys. Everybody runs something pretty similar when it comes down to it, but they call it something different. How do we call formations? What are our variations? What do we call motions? You know, what do we call positions? So there's a lot of different terminology that you have to not only learn, but that you have to teach, and it's trying to be as efficient as possible without dumbing it down, because you don't want to, because at this level, you've got to be able to be a magician schematically as well. So you don't want to dumb down the offense and take away your advantage schematically, but you also don't want to turn you know, long division into trigonometry when it comes down to being able to install things. So there's a lot going on. But I tell you what, when you look at the roster and the position group that I think has seen the best increase, it's up front on the offensive line. And he had to do that. Auburn's been so inefficient and deficient on the offensive line, and you can't win that way. I get on here every week and talk about the game is won and lost up front. I don't care if it's Friday Night Tykes. I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if you run the air raid or the triple option. If you're not good enough up front, you're not good enough to win.
So the something we were talking about earlier in the show, Jake, is the number of people who come to mind when you think about the guys that have been brought in to revolutionize Auburn's passing game or greatly change, you know, an offense that needed help. Hugh Freeze and Philip Montgomery both have the track record of coaches that want to throw the ball and have had very successful passing offenses over the years. Do you think that transition happens immediately? Like, are you expecting Auburn to immediately start throwing the ball more and maybe much more than we've seen from teams over the last few years?
Well, look, the thing about the system, and look, Philip Montgomery is going to call the plays, right? And he comes from the Art Briles system of, hey, let's get weird with the splits in the passing game, which opens you up to some new variations and combinations outside that kind of go against the defensive secondary rules. All of a sudden, the divider is a little bit wider. Where you're lining up isn't typically where you're lining up every week. There's more space. But the best part about the system that they're running is the RPO system, the three-man surface method, the manipulation system, whatever you want to call it, is that you have options, and there's a lot of balance in it. Like, it's not just, hey, it's predetermined that we're going to do this. We are taking what the defense is going to give us. So if the defense is giving us more open areas in the passing game, well, we're going to take advantage of that. If they're going light in the box or they're overplaying or underplaying something, we're going to use the run game. That's why the biggest question for me isn't the play calling. It's not the system. Is that if Peyton Thorne wins the job, does he run it well enough for the defense to have to honor that keep in this RPO deal? If Robbie Asher wins the job, does he throw it well enough for defenses to have to be honest and not just load the box? So to me, when you have two guys like this, it's not about the game plan as much. It's not about the play calling as much. It's about is the personnel good enough to operate the system at max efficiency, because this type of system utilizes every area of the field, every third of the field, and it does resort to balance. And sometimes balance isn't just run to pass. Balance is making the right decision when the defense gives you what they give you.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane & Company. And Jake, looking around the rest of college football, you've got other teams starting practice right now. Anyone?
Yeah, some have already started.
Yeah, yeah. And any storylines you're really paying attention to? Position battles or things that you want to learn before the season gets started anywhere in the SEC?
Well, yeah. Well, the obvious answer is the Alabama quarterback situation, right? I mean, you look over there and they got three guys battling. I think Tyler Buckner is going to win the job. But when's the last time Alabama had to replace a left tackle and a quarterback in the same year? It typically doesn't happen because Nick Saban is absolutely Willy Wonka when it comes to roster management. I don't think we talk about that enough in college football. But outside of that, outside of the quarterback battles, how about Joe Milton? You know what? And look, I hope he figures it out. I'm rooting for the guy, right? I've got nothing against Tennessee or Joe Milton. But why does everybody all of a sudden act like Joe Milton's going to be great because he has a strong arm? Did he not have a strong arm every year he's been in college? Like, why do people act like this is a new thing? Oh, he can throw it 90 yards. It's not like the man pulled a Captain America and got injected with something, and now he's three times as big, 10 times as fast, and 20 times as strong. It's, can he throw the changeup? You look at Spencer Rattler. Everybody's asking, well, are we going to get end of the year Spencer Rattler? Are we going to get beginning of the year Spencer Rattler? Well, South Carolina's biggest problem is they have a group of five offensive line at best. So it's not going to really come down to how good Spencer Rattler is. It's, can they protect him? Can they run the ball well enough? And then you look at a team like Arkansas that's actually returning their quarterback in K.J. Jefferson and a really good back in Rocket Sanders. And they have Dan Enos coming over from Maryland who's going to try and protect K.J. Jefferson a little bit more. I don't think people are talking about Arkansas enough. So around the league, there's a lot of interesting storylines. But I think sometimes the way we go about them are just surface level, And that's why our slogan over at Crane & Company is win the water cooler, man. You got to dive deep to find the treasure.
That's great stuff. Some of the things we have talked about, absolutely, Jake. It's great to have you back. Tell everybody what you do have going on. What's coming up on Crane & Company?
Yeah, well, if you like college football, if you like talking Auburn, just head over to YouTube. It's Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We go live each weekday from 6:30 to 8 a.m. Central. We have live call-ins, a live chat that you can ask questions. Tim Brando's coming on tomorrow, dropping his top 10. I'm sure everybody's going to have a reasonable response to that, just jokingly. And also, I'm hopping into Twitter Space tomorrow night. You can check me. We're talking a lot of recruiting. I got a little nugget on KJ Bolden. I think everybody's going to find interesting. Going to talk about that on the show tomorrow as well. So, yeah, come check us out.
Great stuff, Jake. Thanks, man. It's always, always good talking to you.
Bill, same here, man. Really appreciate you guys. Look forward to next week. Let's get kickoff here quick.
Great stuff, Jake.
Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays at the bottom of the 5 o'clock hour. And yeah, I mean, there will be so much more. We'll have actual practices and some reactions from, you know, what we've seen and heard coming up here over the next few days. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in as we wind it down on the Tuesday Drive.
Yellowwood knows that.
Zero. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday afternoon. A fun show, and we'll continue this tomorrow and we'll get Jason Caldwell's thoughts as well. Jason will be on with us early on tomorrow before day one. Tomorrow is the official reporting day, if you will, for Auburn. Thursday is the first day of practice, and we will again we'll get with Hugh Freeze at 8:30 before practice starts at around 9:30. So, but we'll have Jason on with us tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts, just sort of comparing feelings going into the season. I think that'll be fun for us to continue with our listeners as well. So we'll do that as we head closer to the start of practice. But good response from everybody today on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great to hear from what folks have to say. You know, seems like the enthusiasm is out there for what this team could do in the 2023 season, and we're just a couple of weeks away, right? So Vanderbilt, what, Saturday is the 5th, and
yes,
Vanderbilt plays on the 26th.
We got 3 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah, we got Vanderbilt, Hawaii. Week zero is 3 weeks from Saturday. 4 weeks from Saturday, we've got Auburn's opener among the first real week of college football, the first big Saturday in college football this season. When's the when's first day for Auburn students? The 2 weeks from tomorrow?
16th.
2 weeks from tomorrow,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Auburn students will be back. So yeah, in the meantime, I guess enjoy the roads being relatively calm for the next couple of days while you can, right? Before things really perk up.
Yeah. So it's not going to be long. It won't be. I mean, you can see a lot of folks moving in right now. As a matter of fact, where was I driving? And I had to move because a student move-in is going on. I mean, if you're paying rent from the start of August, you might as well move in. So a lot of folks are.
August 1st has arrived. So yeah, folks will be moving in all over town this week and this upcoming weekend. Speaking of which, Jason Caldwell's been tracking who might be moving to Auburn in the next few seasons, and we'll be talking with Jason tomorrow as part of the 24/7 network. Jason was talking to a lot of these guys this weekend. Really looking forward to hearing what Jason has to say.
Yeah, Jason will be with us tomorrow early on. We'll get his thoughts. I mean, obviously on the Big Cat weekend, Auburn's pickups there. And the addition of Dylan Senda, the true freshman, who did go through spring ball at Northwestern. So, I mean, he's gotten a spring practice in college, even though it wasn't up. That's the crazy thing. Again, 21 guys, and I think it's I didn't break down the transfers compared to the freshmen, but you've got quite a few guys who have gone through seasons, if not – just spring ball at other schools.
There was that player, we talked about him on the show, I think a year ago, who went through spring practice. He was a local guy who went through spring practice at Utah. And then he was like a Mr. Football in Alabama who went through spring practice at Utah and then decided Utah wasn't for him and went into the portal and enrolled somewhere else in the fall. We're seeing more of that where players and I don't think this is NIL necessarily luring players away or tampering. This is guys getting a taste of something and deciding, ooh, this is not what I thought it would be, or it's not what I want it to be or need it to be or whatever, and immediately, you know, changing their mind and going somewhere else. But that's I think it could become a little bit. I mean, this is a very different circumstance with regards to Dylan Senda because of what happened at Northwestern, you know, since he committed there and since he was recruited. But I think we could see more players on the move right after their recruitment ends if their first choice isn't what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So looking forward to all this. It's going to be a fun week. It's been a fun last few days as we get ready. And we're one day closer with the end of the show today. Again, our thanks to Jake Crane and all of our callers today. Jason Caldwell joins us tomorrow. We're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.